This is the Adam Carriker Show on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Adam Carriker Show. All right, Jake, you got that clip ready, talking about Nebraska's strength of schedule. If you do, go ahead and roll that bad boy.
The easiest, surprisingly, is Nebraska in the Big Ten. They do play Penn State, and they do play Michigan. They do not play Ohio State, and they do not play Oregon. They get Michigan at home. They get USC at home, and they play four of the five bottom teams in the preseason Big Ten odds. So, year three, Matt Rhule. You're looking for another reason to believe. There it is.
Four of the five bottom teams in the Big Ten, at least according to the preseason odds. And as you look at this, we do not have a true, because Kansas City pretty much will be a home game. We do not have a true road game until October, the middle of October at Maryland. And a lot of the tough games we have outside of Penn State's, okay, with all, and Minnesota's not going to be a gimme either. Yeah. But a lot of our tougher games, I would look and I would say USC at home, Michigan at home. All right, a lot of these, Iowa at home. I mean, Memorial Stadium is going to be rocking this year. And I think that's going to have a big impact. And when you look at the fact that we only have out of our 12 games, four actual road games. Like, those are things that I don't know that always get taken into consideration. Now, I'm not a big, especially after last year. I learned my lesson. I even going into last year, outside of Houston, Christian, and Akron, I'm not going to check much. Okay, I feel like we should be able to check certain games like Houston, Christian, and Akron. No disrespect there, okay? But when people were like, oh, we're going to have this record because of this not-so-tough strength of schedule, what that tells me is it's not about how good the team is. It's about we hope we aren't playing anybody any good, which doesn't instill a whole lot of confidence into the team for me. So I've never been a big schedule guy as a general whole. Plus, you never know who's going to pop off and be good. Indiana, Illinois, what the blue hell was that? Then Iowa, Wisconsin, weren't quite the normal selves. So you never know how it's going to work out, how it's going to shape out, especially with the transfer portal. But, man, I tell you what, I like the amount of – I'm just going to call Kansas City basically a home game. I like the amount of home games we have, eight, okay, with Kansas City versus road games, because that does make an impact.
So that's the other part of it. Nebraska fans need to remember that this Cincinnati game was initially supposed to be played in Indianapolis, right?
Yep.
And fortunately enough for the Huskers, it became much more feasible for a lot of people to make the trip down to Kansas City. For
geographically friendly?
Yeah. Geographically friendly. And it's been, I mean, we've flown into Indianapolis. It's mm-hmm. incredibly difficult to get into Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. Where with Kansas City, you can drive the 3 hours down to KC. So it's essentially going to be a very pro Husker crowd. It's going to be a very big Husker advantage, especially when you compare it to how far Cincinnati will have to travel for that one. So while that counts as Nebraska's road game, because they took a home game away from Cincinnati to make that happen, it feels a lot like an extra home game and one fewer road game for the Huskers.
I expect it to be rowdy and very pro-Husker. Fans are going to be excited. First game of the year tend to be that way. Cincinnati is a Power Four school. There's going to be way more Nebraska fans there. They're going to be hyped Thursday night, first game of the year, ESPN, Matt Rhule year three, Dylan Raiola year two. I expect it to feel a lot like Memorial Stadium from a pro-Nebraska energy electricity standpoint. And some of the loudest stadiums I played in the NFL, the first two that always pop into my mind is Seattle, Kansas City. That's always 1-2 for me. Now, there's others that pop in. Honestly, when I played for this against the Skins with the Rams and then for the Skins as well, that always pops into my head. Denver is a very loud one as well. But, man, I tell you, Kansas City and Seattle, those were the two that always pop into my head first.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, and we expect you challenge Nebraska fans, and shout out to Blur. Blur's going to be down there. We're going to be down there as well with Blur. And so it's going to be a great time. Also, it's matched up really well to where the following night it's Husker night at the Royals game.
Yes.
So, perfect. You know, the Royals need to get their stuff figured out, but you know, it's going to be a great opportunity for Nebraska fans to go down there for a Husker game on Thursday night. And then the Royals Husker night on Friday night. It's going to be a great opportunity for a lot of Husker fans to just make a weekend out of it. And so, you know, and speaking of baseball, Adam, as we go to break, we got some things happening here in this College World Series game. UCLA currently trails by 5, but bases are loaded with just one out in the top of the 8th. And by the way, the loser of this game has to come back later tonight and play a second game.
I love the double elimination style. Chatted about that yesterday. All right. So I'm sure you're aware of this. A lot of fans are aware of this. This is a pretty cool deal. Gage Wood, Arkansas pitcher, pitched the 3rd no-hitter in College World Series history yesterday, in the 1st in 65 years, striking out a record 19 and never letting Murray State come close to getting a hit in the Razorbacks 3-0 victory. For a while, it looked like he might actually end up with a perfect game as well. And what'd you say, Nick? Did you tell me he threw 117 pitches?
So 119 pitches was the final pitch count for Gage Wood. And I made note of this. His first pitch of the game in the top first inning was 97 miles an hour. His 119th pitch, the pitch that he got a no-hitter completed on, 97 miles an hour.
That's
his velocity did not drop the entire insane. Game, and that tells you where the game's at right now. Run the gauge red, man, and you know, run it red and have velocity, velocity, velocity.
So,
and also, if you're able to establish your fastball, no matter what level you're at, if you can establish a fastball, have location, and then also be able to break something off, and he was able to with a nice changeup yesterday. It had great tail with it. If you're able to command two pitches, whether you're at the youth, high school, or even college level, you're going to be effective if you can locate.
So he's projected to be a first-round pick in the Major League Baseball draft. And to your point, so I don't know how familiar you are with this. I actually thought I was going to play baseball after high school. Mm-hmm. I threw 95 in high school. And so I thought I was actually going to be a pitcher. I played against a guy who was a first-round draft pick and did pitch for the Detroit Tigers for a long time, and Jeremy Bonderman. Mm-hmm. Now, I remember he was a year older than me. I think he was 1 year older than me, not two. He would throw 97 in the first inning, and the scouts would be there. They got the guns out. Great Major League Baseball career.
Yeah.
By the third inning, he was at 92, and that was one of the things that actually concerned the scouts. Now, again, he played for over a decade, really good pitcher and career. For me, because it was interesting, you guys were chatting about, what did his arm feel like at 119? So I didn't throw 97. I ended up going to baseball, capped it off where I did cap it off. But I've thrown 122 pitches in a game before. So when you ask how it feels, it's one of two things. Yes, it feels like rubber. You don't feel much. But if you're pitching well, and I threw one no-hitter in my entire high school career, if you're throwing a no-hitter, it feels great.
Well, that's my thing.
It doesn't settle in till the next day.
Exactly.
And then 2 days later, that's when it really settles in. Yeah. One thing I learned, go for a 2 mile run the next day. Doesn't have to be fast, but just go for a 2 mile run. Get the blood pumping. Get the lactic acid out of your arm. I don't like running long distances. Yeah. That's why I hated it. But it's very effective. And the guys that did that, they had more sustainability throughout games, and they had more sustainability as far as being an effective pitcher as the season went along versus guys who didn't. So he's probably running a mile or two at some point.
Yep. Yeah, and that's who Arkansas is going to have. Arkansas is going to have the loser of this game later on tonight. So it's going to be that's your nighttime game, as this was the game that was postponed last night. Started up at 10 a.m. this morning. And then you have Oregon State, Louisville, an elimination game at 1 o'clock or around that time here today.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, at the top of the hour, we got some Husker sports roundup updates and over-under win totals for Nebraska football. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.